God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, he spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. It's not something I like to do because it reminds me of the old days of radio. We come on and say, you know, the Todd Herman Show really focuses on some things, but we do. There is a phrase that I created in radio, and it was one of the greatest, most satisfying days of my life in radio, because I spoke a monologue about this on the Rush Limbaugh program. Thank you, Rush. God rest you. I did a whole monologue about the propaganda of silence, and that it's the single most important tool that the Mockingbird media has at their disposal. Because if an event doesn't happen and your conservative friends are saying it happens, your conservative friends are nuts. When I did that monologue, one of the most satisfying moments of my life was seeing a tweet go out by my friend James Golden, who you knew as Bo Snerdly on Rush's show. James does a very successful radio program at a WABC New York now. Incredibly kind man. And he put up on Twitter one of the most important monologues I've ever heard, Todd Herman's brilliant theory of the propaganda of silence. You must hear this. That's true. There was a propaganda of silence, and it was, in fact, being paid for. President Trump had said that we should end U.S. aid. He talked about it being a corrupt entity. He said it had been a good idea that ended up being perverted. We'll get to that in a second. Before that, we'll get some Democrats, et cetera, defending it because they're freaked out. We have learned that the thing I'd also predicted is a fact. The Mockingbird media was getting your tax dollars. We knew it had gone to the BBC through USAID. Turns out, according to Kyle Becker News, from the database, the AP was also getting money, raking in millions of dollars in government money for years. The great news is this. If you take government money, you just signed up for government oversight. Every single senior news editor with the Associated Press should be subpoenaed right now. They should be brought before a committee, and they should be told to answer questions about why they took this money, what they did with it, and we should demand every and all email from them to any government official at all, and we should begin examining what the government was paying them for. We understand from the USAID data that there was a report in the BBC that was sent to attack Elon Musk. We know about targeted attacks on Rudy Giuliani. We know, of course, about the coordination with the Mockingbird media that was evident before our eyes in many other big topics. It also turns out, as we were recording, and I think this was, you know, just a couple of days, just a day ago, we were recording, and my producer, Alex, said, "Oh, hey, by the way, did you see the Politico can't pay their employees because of a mistake?" A mistake? Like the fact that apparently they were had received $8.1 million in government money? Maybe that money stopped flowing? Now, I've spoken for years about the political business model, which is open lobbying. They do these events in Washington, D.C., where you pay a huge amount of money to sit at a table to hear a great woman like Hillary Clinton talk about all the great things Hillary Clinton has done and the great vision that Hillary Clinton has for the country and the great things that Hillary Clinton has done for you and her greatness and how great she is. And then she talks some more about how great she is. And then you get to meet her. Or you get to sit at a VIP table with her and hand her your business card. And what do? I clean hard drives. I don't know why you'd want to know that, but I do. It's matchmaking between companies and politicians. And here's the political on top of this. Take it a rake. Take it a rake off of a lobbying event. So the corruption has been clear to me for a very, very long time. I'm not saying that the Politico couldn't pay their employees because they knew the USAID money's not coming in, but it's an interesting bit of timing, isn't it? Chris Van Hollen, joined a lot of other Democrat elected officials who went to the USAID offices. Now, I don't want to say, well, let's say, did they storm the offices?
As you probably saw, Elon Musk and his crew put a gag order on AID employees. They disconnected them from email, which is putting lives at risk around the world. So we are here to enter the building and so we can hear firsthand from whoever is here at AID, or at least witness firsthand what is happening with this Elon Musk attempted takeover, which will not stand. We will prevail. Let's go.
Thank you.
Oh, but they are going to storm the doors. I love the compliant media. There's C-SPAN, which, of course, we know is tied to the government. Oh, how exciting. We will win. Later, Chuckie Schumer came out and chanting in that exhausted voice of his, "We will win." It's bedtime. They were taking our money to pay the Taliban to create poppies for heroin. They were propagating and promoting atheism, I think in Nepal, in countries with a long heritage of pottery as art. They were teaching pottery classes. In our country, they were underwriting the campaigns for city districts attorneys who refused to prosecute crime. In other words, prosecutors who would not prosecute. They gave twice as much money to those efforts than did George Soros, and they were called Soros prosecutors. Apparently, they should have been called USAID prosecutors. They were paying media entities like the BBC for an outcome. We don't know the outcome they were seeking with the Associated Press in paying them. We don't know the outcome they were seeking with, apparently, the New York Times as well, who also took this money. I've been predicting for years, you're going to find out that the Mockingbird media has been being underwritten by the government. And let's just think about the Twitter files. We talked about this. How many times did I say, do you think that the corruption of the government controlling media ends with social media? You think that they just thought of this then? Never forget that, to his credit, and I mean it, to his credit, Barack Obama said publicly they wanted to put FCC observers in the newsrooms in America to make sure that the news was being reported fairly. He said that. And maybe Obama's, maybe he was looking at the spreadsheets. We could save some money here. Just tell them we'll put them in prison if they don't toe the line. Why are we paying them? President Trump had spoken about USAID.
USAID, or what's going on there?
Well, it's been run by a bunch of radical lunatics, and we're getting them out. USAID, run by radical lunatics, and we're getting them out, and then we'll make a decision.
It's a very Trumpian response. Left-wing lunatics, will get them out, then we'll make a decision. USAID put out a video. Free speech, you know. For them, not for us. And in it, there's the most interesting thing, the most interesting little statement from USAID on the topic of censorship. Here is part of that video. Countering Disinfo, a guide to promoting
disinformation has invaded online conversations on social media platforms, posing challenges to healthy information environments and threats to democracy. It bolsters authoritarians, weakens democratic voices and participation, exploits and exacerbates existing social cleavages, and silences opposition. Countering disinformation and promoting information integrity are necessary priorities for ensuring democracy can thrive.
It's deadly if you're not seeing the video. Democracy is the communist fist, just so you know. That's... That's their image of democracy.
The SEPs Countering Disinformation Guide is a resource including 9 thematic sections and a comprehensive database of interventions.
One of the thematic sections, incidentally, is strategic silence. The propaganda of silence.
Citing various approaches for advancing information integrity and strengthening societal resilience to disinformation and other harmful online campaigns. The International Foundation for Electoral Systems, International Republican Institute, and National Democratic Institute developed this guide with support from USAID through the Consortium for Elections and Political Process Strengthening. Mm-hmm. Here are 9 key takeaways from the guide.
Let's do it.
Addressing disinformation requires a whole-of-society approach.
Okay, so whole-of-society, and we're going to do that by secretly paying the Mockingbird Media. Got it. By censoring some and not others. By pretending significant news events didn't happen. Got it.
We need to create a sense of urgency to drive collective action for addressing disinformation.
There's the communist fist again. We need to create a sense of urgency to drive collection action for addressing disinformation, because the government would never put out disinformation.
Institutions and platforms have the resources to address disinformation, but lack credibility.
Oh.
Whereas civil society has the credibility, but is chronically under-resourced.
Institutions and platforms have the resources to address disinformation, but lack credibility. Whereas the civil society has the credibility, but is chronically under-resourced. Hey, this will help drive trust in institutions and platforms. Secretly paying money to the Mockingbird Media, that's going to help big time.
Countering disinformation requires a mixed methods approach, including fact-checking, monitoring, and other interventions. Focusing on major events like election outcomes alone will not achieve a healthy information environment.
Okay, and?
Developing norms and standards, legal and regulatory frameworks, and better social media content moderation is necessary for a healthy information ecosystem.
Moderation by who? Oh, that's right, the fact checkers who were getting paid by government. And the video from USAID continues.
It is important to establish frameworks to discourage political parties from engaging in disinformation. Not sure where to start?
I know where to start. Dig further into your paper where you talk about your framework, including strategic acts of silence. In other words, coordinated efforts to not talk about things important to Americans. That would be a great place to start in this USAID. Remember Nina Jankowicz? She was the lady who sang songs about disinformation from Mary Poppins. You remember her nutty, weird lady? She said on social media, a very short story about why USAID is important for American interests. In 2012, Putin expelled USAID from Russia. In the aftermath of widespread protests against the regime, aid became one of Putin's scapegoats for support of Russian civil society, including election monitors. To which Mike Benz responded, why is USAID funding Nina Jankowicz's internet censorship project in London? Indeed, why are they? Why are they funding any of this? Well, because it's been laundered money. Laundered money is a lot harder to track down. After all, when it goes from the government and they take their rake to USAID's part of the government and they take their rake to NGOs and they take their rake, once it washes down into, say, Bill Kristol's media and advocacy platforms or to the BBC or to the AP, it's light a bunch of percentages, but they don't care. If you are a reporter and you work for any of these entities, please, I beg you, I pray, you will look back to that time in your youth where you decided you wanted to be a reporter so you could speak truth to power, where you could use the First Amendment right to speak freely and to associate freely and, of course, to express our faith freely and to live our faith, but also to be a member of the free press. Because you taking money secretly from the government are the very, very opposite of a free press. The opposite. Welcome back on The Disciples View. Coming up, of course, the Tower Babbling, the personal notes. In other words, the program will continue. I'm Todd Herman on AFR, and this is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Next segment, we'll get to the Tower Babbling, wrap up the show with a personal note, as we always do. That is our tradition. Warning, heads up, because I know that there are listeners who are fatigued on this topic. Honestly, I pledge, if I never had to speak again about the lies of transgenderism, I would be so utterly thrilled, but it must be something we look at, because despite the order that President Trump has given, the executive order, banning federal dollars for being used to chemically and surgically mutilate children, the gender fanatics are finding ways around this. And corrupt public officials are also finding ways around it, they think. Here's an example. There is a gender radical so-called doctor who has posted to Reddit what this gender radical doctor has found. This gender radical doctor, or what I call a gender jacker, has discovered a new condition. It's not gender dysphoria, she's saying, in these boys who think they're girls. That's not that at all. They have a hormonal imbalance. They have an estrogen shortage. So she is no longer writing about gender dysphoria. She's simply saying hormonal imbalance, estrogen shortage. So, hey, there's no so-called transgender here. It's just a young woman without enough estrogen. So she's going to prescribe estrogen 2,000 times the amount that would ever go in that young boy's body. And probably when the plastic surgeon gets involved to surgically mutilate, probably come along and say something like lack of breast function. They are going to continue to push this because, in my judgment, they are spiritually captured. They're financially captured. One and the same thing often. Do you remember the corrupt prosecutor in New York, Letitia James, who went after President Trump and succeeded in effectively saying that Goldman Sachs are a bunch of financial dummies? They didn't know a thing about how to value real estate. They got conned by President Trump. They were just so stupid. And remember that went in front of a corrupt judge whose daughter was a major fundraiser for the Democrat Party, a corrupt judge who had said effectively that his intent was to harm President Trump's election. Do you remember that Letitia James had at one point been pursuing seizing all of President Trump's assets? Do you remember that when that judge looked at the valuation of the Mar-a-Lago estate, he valued it at about 20% of the surrounding properties that don't have the cash flow, the square footage, the acreage, none of that, the name, the brand, the money earning capabilities. So Letitia James, that corrupt prosecutor, the New York Attorney General, warns hospitals that canceling so-called transgender care could violate state law. I had thought, and perhaps I'm wrong, that federal law supersedes state law, and that President Trump, since he is directing federal monies in organizations that report to him, Congress made that decision that the executive would be under whom these corrupt agencies report, and so no federal dollars for these procedures. In fact, federal law does supersede this. So you've got corrupt gender-jacking so-called doctors pretending that boys who don't have enough estrogen in their bodies need 2,000% more, so she doesn't have to say the word transgender. And you've got a prosecutor, an AG, threatening state authorities, if you follow federal law, I'm coming for you. That's how committed they are to this. There's an a San Francisco Episcopal priest, and I know Episcopalians, and I know that there probably are still some good Episcopalian churches, almost certainly, is giving a sermon denouncing President Trump's so-called anti-trans executive orders. And the message was titled, Preaching Against, guess. Guess who he's preaching against. Did you guess? You're right. Hitler.
In the last 2 weeks, 1,500 January 6 rioters were pardoned or had their sentences commuted, and many wonder if right-wing militias now regard themselves as immune from prosecution. $3 trillion in federal grants were frozen and then unfrozen. A letter went out to 2 million federal employees asking them to resign. Hundreds of other government employees, including civil servants at the highest level of our justice system, have been fired. 25% tariffs are being imposed on our closest neighbors and trading partners. We see preparations for mass deportation. We hear ominously repeated phrases like, quote, defending women from gender ideology extremism, and, quote, restoring biological truth to the federal government, end quote. The trans people in our congregation, in the city, among our clergy, and across the land are being singled out when they're just the sort of humans Jesus loved the most and most sought to defend.
Just the sort of humans that Jesus loved the most, because he loves certain people a lot more than others. He loves us, and he made us, man and woman, male and female, in his image, knitted together in our mother's wombs. Some of us born with sinful proclivities towards pornography, lust of the flesh in terms of revenge, greed, kleptomania, and some people genuinely confused into believing they're the opposite sex. And more often people conned into that. Incidentally, that's the Reverend Dr. Malcolm Clemens Young making those statements. And just to clarify, 2 million federal employees weren't sent packing. They were offered a buyout. They can choose to pursue it or not. Oh, President Trump is being revolutionary. There's no doubt in regard to what he's doing within Washington, D.C., and some would say to Washington, D.C. No doubt that this is revolutionary. And then again, what did he say he would do? This. He said he would clear out the swamp. I don't know that people to this moment understand that the President Trump in the first term was a moderate. President Trump in his second term has been radicalized. Now, radicalization can be super dangerous, particularly if it rolls on and on and on and no one is willing to question President Trump. There's a lot of things that President Trump's doing that should be questioned. The idea of Canada as a 51st state is insane. It is insipid. It is stupid. It is insane. If we had Canada as the 51st state, you'd never again have a Republican president or a conservative president. You'd have another state that is utterly fallen, far more spiritually than the United States. Canada is almost completely unchurched. And the idea that we want to own Gaza? No, please don't do that. Please do not go out and plant a flag like that. Please don't nation build. Please don't give in to that temptation. So there's a lot of things in which President Trump is flat wrong. To this day, he refuses to recognize the harms of the COVID shots. He's wrong about that. We owe him the courtesy of pushing back when he's wrong. Otherwise, ego can take over and radicalization can become super dangerous. Right now, President Trump has to, I think, govern in a way that I don't like, executive orders. But that's Hitler. That's what the Reverend Dr. Malcolm Clemens Young was suggesting. I mean, the sermon was called Preaching Against Hitler. And grown adults who have decided to become chemically and surgically altered, you're not at any risk of anything. You can still go get the drugs to maintain the illusion. Nothing's stopping you from doing that at all. All he's done is no federal monies to do it to kids. Speaking of Episcopalians, do you remember the lady Carl Barth? Remember that? This woman's, no, pardon, her name was Bishop Marlena Budd. My bad. Marianne Budd. Remember that? That she gave this sermon in the National Cathedral that wasn't really a sermon. It was attack on President Trump. Interestingly, it turns out, by the way, that she took a bunch of money from USAID, the data that keeps on giving gifts. So Episcopalians are still trying to make great, great footage and having meals on what she said to President Trump. They're still talking about this. And in this case, we're hearing from a man like this on that whole event that happened in Washington, D.C. at the National Cathedral.
Now, Karl Barth had a very dear friend whose name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and they were writing back and forth to each other, and Barth encouraged Dietrich Bonhoeffer to return back to Germany. And Bonhoeffer was later hanged by the Nazis shortly before his prison camp was liberated by the Allies. And for the rest of his life, Barth had regrets about that. Barth himself was put to trial. He sat across from three judges who convicted him. They banned him from ever speaking in public, and he violated this order. And on March 26, 1935, he preached at the Second Free Reformed Synod in Siegen, Germany. But in Karl Barth's case, we are hearing from a man who, like Bishop Buddy, knew what it felt like to preach a sermon that could have gotten him killed.
Bishop Buddy, who lectured President Trump about illegal immigration and how Jesus loves lawbreaking, was not at any risk of being killed. She's apparently the recipient of USAID dollars to do just what she says, which is to bring illegal immigrants into the country, keep them here with an attempt to turn over our electoral college to overturn it. Now, she may not see it that way. Perhaps she truly does feel called to break the law. But Jesus isn't calling her to break the law. God doesn't argue with himself. And sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to follow the law. Sometimes law seems really brutal. Sometimes there's room for mercy. Mercy can come in all sorts of forms. It often comes after brutality. People see a period of brutality. There's kind of two choices within the human psyche, to respond with similar brutality or to respond with softness. The most remarkable thing in dealing with people who become ultra-political over a period of time, most remarkable thing is for them to see videos of themselves. Have you done this? We were going through and looking at some old videos of ourselves back the day. This is about 2 weeks ago. Some friends of mine and I, they've been politically active for years. And we were just reminiscing. Hey, remember that thing we went to in Seattle where we were protesting this thing? And in that case, it was a good protest. Protesting Washington State's lockdown policies. Protesting what they were doing to small businesses. In the specific case, what they've been doing. They were attacking a barber who had spent his life as a Marine, and when he retired from the Marine Corps, he went to Barber's College. His sole source of income was his barber shop. It was up in a town called Marysville. And he did not, aside from his Marine retirement, he didn't have any money. So he continued to work. And cutting hair was his only source of income, and he could not shut down. There was a restaurant next door. Their only source of income was the food they served. The only way to keep their employees in their rented apartments was to serve food. These two businesses defied the lockdowns, and they stayed open. The government came for them. Some of us were there that day. I wasn't, but friends of mine were there that day when the state patrol showed up, and they shut those businesses down. They took a decorated Marine in handcuffs out of his business. They strapped a mask on his face. They did the same to the business owner who ran the cafe next door that was famous, by the way, for their pies and their pancakes, all of it homemade, all of it from scratch, nothing from cans. They handcuffed them and some of their key employees, and they put masks on their face, and they put them in the back of police cars. As I speak about this, I feel angry. And I'm thinking about this Episcopalian saying that the lady who spoke to President Trump and lectured him, that so-called bishop, that she knew what it was to face death. We were there protesting a couple days later, and the media showed up. We're looking at these videos, my friend Mark and I. Tom was there and Chris and a couple other guys. And we came across a video that Chris looked at played, and then looked it up and said, oh, God, what was I? I'd asked him if I could play it on the show, and he said, no, please don't. Chris, in the face of a television news reporter, screamed at this woman with utter, unmitigated rage. And as he looked at this video, and he and I watched it with our friends, he sat back, tears in his eyes, said, how did I let them do that to me? And he looked at us and said, thank God I'm here. Oh, he's trying to get in touch with her. She's the one person he wants to see this video who works in media other than me, and I saw it accidentally. And he said, I have got to beg her forgiveness. So brutality comes in many forms. Chemically and surgically mutilating kids is one of them. Radicalization in government level, while right now we're getting what we want, it could come there. Let's pray that it not. And sometimes it comes just through that tongue God warns us about, because he does warn us about it. We'll come back with Tar Babbling and a Personal Note. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Really appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to a personal note, the Tower Babbling. I want to get to a couple of emails. Eric with a K, and it says, this is Eric, E-R-I-K with a K, parenthetically, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Dear Todd, I listen to your program on AFR.net, and when I'm in my second home of Mississippi, I'm just up the street from where the studios are located, as I understand it. And you've developed a bad habit. You become apologetic when you speak of the gifts God gives you. You've made a point several times of saying, stop me if this seems prideful. You've made several points of saying, I didn't build this. I understand you to be a humble man, but I ask you to examine whether you're also a grateful man. Because every time you seem to discount the gifts God gave you, I feel like you are also discounting your opportunity to be grateful. You speak so often of saying, don't let me be prideful. Todd, maybe you could try this. Lord, I'm so grateful for the opportunity you gave me to be a good speaker. Lord, I'm so grateful that you sent me to what you call the fallen country of Washington, D.C. Lord, I'm so grateful that you equip me. As a listener who loves your program and your presentation, that would land better on my ears as a Christian man than a constant series of apologies for sounding prideful, which could make you sound prideful. I hope you take this into account as you continue your fine program. I will pray for you, Eric with a K from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Eric, thank you very, very much for the note. I'm deeply grateful, Lord, that you saw fit to somehow, through the airwaves, connect me with AFR, because it only happened from afar. Frank Turek was part of this. Sandy Rios was part of this. The Wildman family reaching out to me was the culmination of this. Talking with both, all the Wildmans and I had conversations about this. So, Lord, I'm deeply grateful for that. Well said, Eric. This is from Janine in Houston, Texas. Dear Todd, do you work out of the AFR studios on any regular basis? And if so, is it possible for listeners to drop by and say hello? I'm in Houston, which is a bit of an airplane flight, but for one of the events where you're there, I would fly up. And if you're there on a regular basis, I'd like to fly up and introduce you to my family. I feel like we've become family as I've listened to your program. What are your thoughts? Janine, I am going to be not at this next Share-a-thon, which is, I believe, in April 8th through 10th. But I've told the team I will be there for the one after that. So question, can you come to the studios? Well, that's a good question for Kevin, who runs security. I'm sure the answer is yes. I would be delighted to meet you. And I'm actually thinking about asking the team if we could do a live event there. I'd really like to come and do a live event where I have an opportunity to speak from less of a political perspective, more of a faith perspective. So if that's something you'd be interested in, let me know, because I would love to meet you and your family. And just do me a favor. When we meet, please don't call me Mr. Herman. Please don't do that. Please don't be extra gracious. And when we meet, please do me this. This is a real favor. I consider your job, whatever your job is, and I legitimately mean this, I consider your job to be every bit as important as my job, every single bit. So I try to accept it with graciousness when people say thank you for what you do, but what I do is such fun. And what you do matters just as much. And also, just one last thing, please let me ask about you. Please let me learn about you. I get to sit here and babble to my heart's content, and I never get to hear you back. So yeah, I'd like to meet you. Thank you, Janine. You can write to me really easily at thetoddhermanshow.com. If you want the management here to see what you're saying, a critique of the program, positive or negative, please do that. Comments at afr.net. Before we get to the tower babbling, just this. This is from Elon Musk in an analysis of our economy. Reducing the federal deficit from $2 trillion to $1 trillion in fiscal year 2026 requires cutting an average of $4 billion per day in projected 2026 spending from now to September 30. That would still result in a $1 trillion deficit, but economic growth should be able to match that number, which would mean no inflation in 2026. You can say a lot of things about Elon Musk. As I point out very often, he's a transhumanist. He'd like to see his computer chips in every brain. I believe he's built Skynet. I mean, his internet service is great, and it's Skynet-like. His cars can all be turned off at the point of origin. Meaning their satellites can run to all his cars, but the newer versions of Teslas can be turned off remotely. So I don't think that Elon Musk is anyone to think that he is pure of heart. But on this right-sizing the economy and attacking the woke mind virus, I think he is. And one thing you cannot say is that he doesn't have a solid economic mind, because he clearly, clearly does. And not everybody in D.C. does. Or perhaps they're paid through U.S. aid or other sources to not use the minds God gave them. Speaking of that, as frustrating as it can be to do so on this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in
The Tower of Babbling.
It's normally three sound bites in the Tower Babbling. Today, we actually have a bonus sound bite. Can you believe that? In El Cajon, California, the city council voted 3-2 in favor of rejecting a resolution that would allow local law enforcement to work with federal immigration officials. Let's say this in a more clear way. In El Cajon, California, the city council voted in favor of an insurrection.
For the record, this motion fails with council member Kendrick, Goble, and Mitchell voting no.
They voted for an insurrection to rebel against the federal government. Wait, I thought that was wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the Overton window. Next up in today's Tower Babbling, on MSNBC, there was an alarming discovery. I didn't know this, and this is why it's so important to listen to MSNBC. A contributor to MSNBC let us know that it's not illegal immigrants who are being rounded up and arrested. It's certainly not cartel members. It's, according to Katie Fang, well, why don't I just let her tell you?
You know, Paola, I think what's so important to underscore here is these ICE raids that are happening right now, they are indiscriminate in terms of who they are collecting and picking up and who they're detaining. They're actually, it's the reverse of due process, right? It's, I'm going to take everybody who's brown and black, and then I'm going to make you prove that you're the U.S. citizen versus ICE saying, I know you're not a U.S. citizen, and I'm here to be able to take you.
That's not happening. That's a lie. I wonder if we'll find out that MSNBC has been getting USAID dollars. I think the odds are pretty good that they have been. They, in fact, have a list of illegal immigrants in this country. How? Because very often they've been demanding that they be deported, and local officials, like the people in El Cajon, California, have said no. You know what else they're using? The Obama phones and the Biden phones to track people down. The CPB1 app to track people down. You know what else they can do? You can go to a good local cop and ask them, hey, where do the Honduran and Mexican cartels operate out of your town? And they'll tell you because they know. Next soundbite. Didn't they say there's a bonus? See, it just felt weird to not say last soundbite today in today's Tower Babbling because normally there's three. Yeah, there's a bonus one. On CNN, Ashley Allison was arguing with the sole conservative, it seems, at CNN, Scott Jennings. And I don't think she should go around arguing with Scott Jennings if she doesn't want to be similarly beclowned every time.
Everything, by your logic, if you apply it to the last administration, which I don't think is the case, then if Joe Biden wanted to go after Donald Trump because he wanted to go, the Attorney General should be able to do it. And there's no.
They like, did go after Donald Trump because Joe Biden didn't want to do it.
He had a special prosecutor. He had no. I mean,
but at the order.
But then
of the
why
president.
Is it wrong?
They could have gone after Donald Trump by your logic. They did. Man, do people live in bubbles, or are they paid by USAID dollars to pretend to live in bubbles? Here's the bonus clip. It features a woman whom the camera loves, and she loves the camera back. She's photogenic, videogenic. She was a bartender, honest way to earn a living. Nothing wrong with that at all. Her dad was a successful architect, and she pretends to have come from poor background. She actually graduated with an economics degree from an elite university, which, of course, teaches socialism and communism. And she has said things like, hey, let's mint a trillion-dollar coin and pay off the debt. Because certainly that won't drive inflation or drive our currency down, our currency value. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez offering you her thoughts on Elon Musk.
This dude is probably one of the most unintelligent billionaires I have ever met or seen or witnessed.
Oh, and she says it with such smarts. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciples View.
On a personal note today on the Disciples View, I got this note earlier from Eric. Where was Eric from? Was it Oklahoma City? Yep. And he'd asked me to do less apologizing for the gifts that God gave me. So I'm going to. And he asked me to be more gracious, grateful. So I'm going to. I got to do something today that very, very few people are going to do. I am right now, as I'm speaking with you, I'm in a studio that God's money built. I get to come here every day. I have no boss. I have responsibilities at AFR. There's management. They run the network. They never tell me what to say. I know that there's an audience of one. That's God Almighty. I know that as long as I am biblically faithful and I'm good, I want to thank you for being supporters. I got to come in today and talk for, it'll be 4 hours. I'm about to go have an interview with a friend of mine who comes on my podcast every weekday, or pardon me, every Friday. I get to speak for a living. I get to share my thoughts for a living. And I'm going to tell you something I've never shared with you. It's been very difficult for me to enjoy this lately. Not in the past week or two, but for about 3 months, it's been very, very difficult for me. And I finally realized God was pressing on me. He was pressing on me because I was not free. I'd attached myself to regret and regret at having not sinned. Well, not in a specific way. I was looking back and saying, gosh, what could have been if I'd made a sinful decision? Really sinful. And I found myself trapped in that. So I'd come in here into the studio that God built, into these employees that God has given me to steward. And though I wanted to speak fully and completely, I couldn't, because this thing was on my heart. And I thought, one day, I don't want to burden you with it. God took it in the most sweeping, surprising way. I cannot tell you how phenomenal it was. It took it. You know what just simply happened? My wife finally said, I want to do a CrossFit workout with you. Guys, this sounds so stupid and so petty and, yeah, prideful. I love that sport. I love that fitness. And my wife finally let me share it with her and coach her. And she just sent me a note and said, you were really good at that. I can see you put a lot of thought into that. And I actually enjoyed it. I don't have any desire for my wife to turn into a CrossFit woman. But man, is it good to be able to share a thing you love with a loved one. So there it is. There's some honesty for you. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides we can all speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.